Good hello and welcome to a demo of my first keyboard, a Yamaha PSS 560 that I got in 1986, which is actually the year this keyboard came out. I was 2 years old at the time, and these tiny little keys on this PSS 560 were just right for my tiny little hands. Now they're just, well, tiny. So this keyboard has no demos, so I just have to demonstrate how it works. So this is a two-operator FM synth keyboard. One of the coolest things about it is that it has a thing called digital FM synthesis mode, or I think they call it digital synth or something like that, and you can customize a bunch of sounds. There are a bunch of sliders, six sliders that have five positions each, which means that you get 6 to the 5th power, I guess, combinations of any of the preset sounds or any sound that you make, which has nothing to do with any of the presets. I'll show you how that works later. So this keyboard is 49 notes, well, mine is 48 because the E-flat above middle C, or what would be middle C, doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. See? Doesn't work. Just doesn't work. It's been broken for years. And yeah, this keyboard has been abused several times. I mean, not just once or twice or 17 times. This thing went through hell at least 48 times, I would say, which is probably why there are only 48 working notes. Anyway, this has a stereo chorus, which is why you're hearing a little bit of noise. Listen to this. I'm going to cut the mic completely, and you can just hear the background noise of the keyboard. That way in the background is the sound of the stereo chorus, which I think is just a digital delay with a fixed LFO frequency that just kind of goes in and out of phase. I think that's how that works. Creating that chorus sound, so I'll turn the chorus off. And that's chorus on, chorus off. So I think during the majority of this demo, I'll probably just have it off. But anyway, this keyboard, as I said, is 48 very small keys, hence the PSS, not PSR, I guess. And the first sound you get, I think it's called Cosmic or Cosmo or something like that. And it's this. Let me turn the sustain off. Yeah, I told you it's hard to play these keys. It's you overshoot. Like I can go normally on most keyboards, I can do from here to here with one hand. But here I can go from here to here with one hand. So I kind of overreach sometimes. But this is the first. That's the first sound you get when you turn the keyboard on. Kind of weird because most keyboards you get a piano sound. I'm going to turn chorus off now and I'll just keep it off for a while until otherwise. So we have sustain, of course. We can turn that on and off. Oh yeah, of course it re-triggers every time you play the same note. Except sometimes it just forgets to re-trigger the note and it just kind of drops out. I don't actually know what the polyphony is on this thing. Let's see. I'm still not really sure. Maybe 12 note. I'm not sure. I do know that the PCM drums, everything's FM except for PCM drums, they seem to get their own channels. So anyway, I'll show you how some of this FM synthesis stuff works. So I'm going to turn the sustain off and show you the wave selection. So we have a 5-position clicky slider. And when it's in its middle position, it's always at whatever the patch default is. All the sliders are like this. So here's the wave selector, all the way down. On this patch, it'll sound different for every patch. One click up, click up, click, another click. Yeah, some of these sliders have definitely seen better days. just put this back in the middle and change the spectrum slider. That's on most but not all patches, when you have it down all the way, it will take the patch down an octave, basically. This does do some different things on a couple of the more, not necessarily complex instruments, but I'll show you that later. So there's that. I've never seen a difference between the middle position and the position just above that on most of the patches. However, there is usually, in fact, there is a difference when you go into the digital synth mode thing, which is its own deal. So, above that. All right, so here's modulation next to the spectrum slider. All right, and now we have attack and decay. Now the attack slider definitely has seen better days. This is the decay slider. All the way down. All the way up. And of course, this means we can mess with these sliders and have many different combinations of sound. So I can pull this one up, this one down, this one down, this one up, and have this totally nasty bad sound that we didn't have before. Because you totally need this bad, nasty sound that you never had before. Or not, whatever. So, presets. We have, how many of these things do we have? Three rows of seven. So, the top left, we have this sound. This sound. This sound. I hit the wrong button. There we go. So, the default sound. Next to it, we have, I'm not sure what this is supposed to be. Yeah, well anyway, it's got that. This, which may or may not be an electric guitar, I'm really not sure about that. Next to that, some kind of, maybe that's a harpsichord? I don't know. Another similar thing to this, sort of, in a way. Next to that. Oh, this is the jazz organ. Oh, by the way, next to all those, next to the attack and decay slider is a volume slider. I forgot to mention that, mostly because it's boring, except for this patch. On every patch but the organ patch, it changes the overall volume of the sound. What it does with the jazz organ, though, is it brings out the bass, the lower harmonic. It's basically a two fundamental frequencies, as far as I can tell. And when you turn that down, it just turns the bass frequency down. So now it's up all the way, and you can definitely tell that it's up all the way. The vibrato button. Next to that we have, I think this is like supposed to be the pipe organ patch. And, now we'll go to the second row. This is a clarinet, or it's supposed to be. Next to that, I think that's supposed to be a violin. Next to that, a flute, I think. Next to that, I guess some kind of brass. You can take that down an octave and have fake tuba. Or, you know, adjust it even more. Because, you know, you want to do that. Or do that. This is how I used to get my big bass sound. Yeah, that's a big bass sound, boy. Alright, so there's that. Next to this, we have another sort of kind of sound. Next to that, this is supposed to be a saxophone. I keep hitting the E flat thinking it's going to work. Oh, it's sort of a little more saxophony when you play up on the high end. Now let's see what the spectrum slider does when you turn that all the way down, because it's already an octave lower than all the other patches. So that changes. Yeah, it's entirely different. So on this patch, unlike all the other ones, the spectrum slider is an octave lower than every other patch until you get past the middle point. Then it's an octave higher. And it also sounds a bit weird. Anyway. That sounds more interesting than the actual patch does. All right, so next to that we have... I think this is an oboe patch. Yeah, cheesy 1980s synths, gotta love them. And that's the last one on that row. Then we have the last row. On the far left of that, we have the music box. Yay! Now, this is interesting because this is one of those patches that has its own decay. Most don't have decay. So with the sustain on, if you just hold the note down, it does that. But if you let go of it fast, you get that. So that's a little bit unique in terms of those patches. And then we have, next to that patch, the piano patch. This is what the piano on the lovely FM synthesizer does on this keyboard. When I was a kid, I used to call that Bruno. I don't know why, but it sounded like a Bruno to me. So this is Bruno the piano. Say hello to Bruno. Why not? All right, next to Bruno, we have the E piano patch. Now this one, if you put vibrato in the chorus on, sort of, you know, fleshes it out a little bit. Well, that one never got a name. For some reason, I only just named the piano patch Bruno. Okay, so that's the E piano. I guess this is the harpsichord. And did I have sustain? Yeah, okay, so this is, I guess that's supposed to be a harpsichord. So next to that, this is the jazz guitar. Yep. Which sounds an awful lot like the piano. It just sounds like a darker version of that. I bet I can even make it sound similar with the, Yep. This is the piano patch modified slightly. No, whatever, who cares about playing? And here's the jazz guitar patch. Yeah, the decay is different. Whatever. And then the last row, or the last instrument on this row, I think this is vibes. It's been years since I actually knew the proper names of these patches. I was very much a kid when I did that. Yep, vibes patch. All right, so those are all the stock patches. Now, we can get into the synth section, but before I do that, I'm going to show you how these wonderful drums work. So we have drums, we have PCM drums, but when you turn that on, this is pretty typical of mid to late 80s Yamaha smaller keyboards. Half the keyboard, or I guess more than half the keyboard, is taken up by the drums, and the first half is not. So we have from low C to F below middle C, which is playable for the patch, actually F sharp below middle C, and then we have the drums, which is a very, very strange layout, and no black keys. So here is the drum layout starting from G. So that is the drum layout. Very strange to play, obviously. not necessarily something you would want to go all over the keyboard and mess with. And it doesn't have a real crash, it just has that ride. Oh, and before I go on, here's another really odd thing I noticed about these drums. I don't know if it's always been this way, or if this has happened over time, but if you listen carefully, I'm going to hit this a few times. Listen to what happens. Again? Notice that? The last two repetitions of that sample were panned a little bit further to the left than the first four. And this happens with all the drums, I think. Let's see. Well, it's less obvious with some, but... I don't think it happens with the ones that are on the right. Or the left. But it seems to happen to the ones... Let's see if it happens on... I guess it has something to do with PCM channel assignments. But anyway, that's a strange little anomaly. So, this thing has... Of course, a ton of, well, I say a ton, it's actually got 12 styles, which, you know, is a ton in 1986, I guess. And each of these styles, of course, has an auto accompaniment. The first one you get, by default, oh, I have to go out of the drum mode, press the start button, is this, and we have a fill. Yes, the drums do get louder on the fill for some reason. Let me turn those down a little bit because they are hitting the recorder a little hard. Okay, so we have one auto accompaniment. And it's got the standard Yamaha chord scheme. So if you press... say a C and a D next to it, you'll get the D7 thing. Or if you press the C and the C sharp next to it, you get that. And if you want a minor, then you would go C and the B flat below it. So in that case, I would have to go to the higher C. And if you want a C minor 7, then you would also include a B. So you have, you know, G, let's just say... It's the standard Yamaha chord scheme. Casio had an entirely different thing, and I think Kawai had one that was a little different as well. I don't really remember the Kawai one very well, but I remember seeing it, and I remember thinking it wasn't quite Casio, and it wasn't quite Yamaha. But anyway, we have auto accompaniments, of course, but each of these drum rhythms can be customized. There's a thing called Custom Drummer. And what Custom Drummer does is it gives you four sliders to play with. You can have the default. I'll just show you this with the drums only. It'll be a little more obvious. So this is the default. I'm going to turn Custom Drummer on with all the four sliders turned down. That's a little different. Now here's the first slider, which controls the kick. There's one variant. Another variant. And so on. So these have five slider positions each. Here's the snare. So you see what that does. Here's the thing that controls the hi-hats. And now percussion. And there are way too many combinations you can make. Let's just randomly slide all the sliders. In fact, let me just go straight to this disco thing and show you something here. That's not it. Where's disco? Here it is. You hear that thing on the left? That's a drum that you can't actually get to on the drum kit. Well, what it really is a slowed down version of the snare that's kind of turned into a clap. The only way you can get to that particular variant of that sample is by using Custom Drummer. You can't trigger it from the keyboard. So, normally, you get a clap sound over there on the left. But on these two variants, you get that pitch down aliasy snare drum sample. So that's kind of weird. But so we have the Custom Drummer, and there are four to the fifth. That's the one I want. Selectable, assignable versions of each and every style for the drums. Now you have another thing for the auto accompaniment. But they're only... There are only three of each for the auto accompaniment, and there is another thing where you can select which patch you want the bass and rhythm, I guess, sections of the auto accompaniment to use. So you can select. That wasn't even on the default the whole time. So this is the default patch set, I guess, for the auto accompaniment. Let me turn the drums back up too. Of course, if you change the bass or the lead, the patches stay the same. But you can go into this mode and change the patches for both bass. So, again, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that you can select. The one on the top is interesting because it gets into the digital synthesis, so you can make your own patch, quote-unquote, and use that for either the lead or the rhythm section for both. And I'll just demonstrate that very quickly before I actually go into showing how that works. Like, how that really works. But first, the sliders have to be worked into submission. Because... oh, there we go. Okay, so it's not the top position, it's the one below the top position, I think. Either that or I'm just totally wrong about everything. Well, it has been a whole bunch of years since I've used this. Okay, that's how it works. So you have to, you do put it on the top, and then you enable the digital synthesis mode thingy. So I'm going to go out of auto accompaniment, and I'm going to go back in here and make a stupid sound. I already have a stupid sound, but I want a different stupid sound. So in order to do that, I have to beat this slider into submission because it doesn't want to get out of auto accompaniment mode. There we go. Now, Now I've got a stupid noise. So we have not a very useful or awesome sound. That's also not very useful or awesome. So I want something with a quick attack and a continuous decay. Now I can use that in my auto accompaniment section simply by selecting it. Oh dear. Now, I can also select it for the rhythm, which will sound absolutely horrible with this. That's not very good either. This will really suck with the bass. Well, it is a little better, but not really. So anyway, let me turn all this stuff back off so I can show you some of the auto accompaniments, at least in brief, because it would take too long to go through all the possible combinations. So we have this. Disco, of course. Rock, which when I was a kid I used to turn up to about there, you know, that sort of thing. And of course you can 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah baby. All right, so we go back to the default tempo, and now we'll go to, oh, this is country. And then we have, gotta love that synth though, banjo, you know? Alright, so next, what's this one? Oh, the Latin thingy. Some of these are more interesting if you don't use the auto accompaniments, but, you know, whatever. Alright, so we have this one, which I guess is like the bossa nova. I always keep forgetting that freaking key doesn't work. Oh well. Obviously, the fills don't affect the auto accompaniment rhythm track. All right, so I should say the, not the drum track, but the actual rhythm. So there's reggae. I always thought that one was kind of interesting because of the polyrhythmic vibe that it has, and of course you can straighten that out with the custom drummer. Ah, custom drummer. That's what you get with all of them down. So if you That makes it straight and more boring. And the other more boring straight variants.
Irieman!
Or some crap. Yeah. I don't know. I always thought that one was kind of interesting because it wasn't like any of the other ones at all. All right, so down here we have... Oh yeah, big band. Here we go. With our one bar fill. Bringing back so many memories of messing with this thing. Of course, no intros or outros. All right, so now we have... I guess this is swing. Next to that, we have marching band. Let's see, is that the... Yeah, so the one next to that is going to be the last one, which is waltz. That one kind of does a polyrhythm thing too a little bit. Now, of course, it should be noted that with these style... lead things, you can have, of course, either the lead or the bass separate, but I like to put them where the sliders meet because that seems to be where they match the best. So I could, you know, have this bass from one and the other thing on three. And that works with this, but And you know, there aren't really that many that just clash really horribly, given the cheesiness of this thing in general. But the point is, usually they seem to match up better when the clicks match up on both sliders. Okay, so those are basically all the... And I'm not even going to go through all the drum combinations, because that would just take all night. And, well, I'm not going to bother doing that. But that's kind of the basic... idea of the auto accompaniments, and of course you can also put it into a mode where you have the bass set up to whatever you want the bass to be, and you can play that manually. You get a monophonic bass sound, and of course you can go in here and select whatever your sound is and have your sound. That is, if the slider works. There we go. So I used to, when I was a kid, very often have a sound like this on the bass, or maybe something with a little less, you know, thingy, and then turn on the drums and, you know, kind of... and that sort of thing. So have the, you know, take the auto accompaniment away and then just turn the drum machine on and have a bass and a stupid thingy and just have a good old time, man, with that. And of course, we also have, I didn't mention this, but we also have the good old famous play your own chord auto accompaniment thing, but there's something a little bit weird about this one. All right, so with the standard one where you just have the one key, where you press a key and you get a chord, well, you have... Well, guess what? You can't actually make the same chords with this mode because you don't have enough keys, because it stops. So when you're actually using the auto accompaniment in this mode, well, you actually can't you can't do that for all keys, because once you get past F sharp major, you're kind of screwed. So I always thought that was an interesting little side effect of that. And of course, you can make your own chords that don't make any sense. Wesley Willis, yeah, anyway. So that's that. Yeah, so it's got four little clicky sliders. The one on the bottom plays the sound as it is. The one above that gives you this. The one above that gives you that. And the one above that gives you the bass sound and whatever you have set to the lead. So you have the monophonic bass. And, of course, the lead sound can be controlled with its own volume, as can this, which is interesting because, so you have an auto accompaniment slider, you also have a drum slider, and of course they each have their standard five clicks. Well, so... we have that. Let's go into the digital synth mode, and I'll show you some of the weird and dumb things you can do in there. So I'll turn chorus off, turn the lead back up, turn this slider back down. Oh, it works today. It doesn't always work. So the digital synth mode gives you access to the two oscillators, or the two operators, actually, because it's FM, not oscillators. And then you can do dumb things with these. Now, here's where these things with the coefficients start to get a little bit strange. Turn this down, because it's going to be painful. I'm going to try to get a sound that is particularly annoying. And there is a way, let's see if I can remember how to do this, because it's been years since I've done this, but there's a way to completely freak it out so that when you add modulation and tune the thing up and down, because there's a master tune that goes in, I think it's plus or minus 50 cents. It doesn't seem to go a full semitone. You can hear it very clearly, the steps that the coefficients take. It's not so obvious with that, but I'll figure out something in a minute. I love that lovely sound when you suddenly take the decay all the way down when you're playing a note. But it doesn't always do it. Depends on where you are in the envelope section. There you go. That's a lovely... Do that with the spectrum all the way down. And it just kind of freaks it out. And when you have a really annoying sound like this, which I've turned down for your convenience as well as mine, and you have the attack and the decay all the way up, or rather the attack all the way up and the decay set to full, you can really hear the envelope step. That is steppy. Very, very steppy. Oh, yeah. The resolution on this thing is amazing. Okay, here we go. This isn't quite as good of an example as I remember, but when you have this playing and you tune the keyboard, like this is flat. Now I'm going to tune it. Up. Flat. So you can hear it. It's kind of a ring mod effect, and you can hear it sort of beating against itself. And I don't remember what combination, but there used to be one combination of a certain key and having vibrato on and having all the sliders in a very certain setup that would make it go oi, 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 oi. But I probably haven't done that since I was 7 or 8 years old. So, you know, my memory is what it is, and I just don't remember these sorts of things. And that's just how it goes. So no oi, oi, oi for you, I guess. Not that that's a bad thing. This keyboard is really hard to play. Oh my goodness. It really is. But when I was a kid, and I decided, you know, because this was my first keyboard, and I decided I wanted something cooler, I wanted something where I could make sounds. I didn't want just something that had presets and that was it, because I'd seen enough of those. But I wanted something where I could make my own sounds like this keyboard could do. I mean, okay, granted, I knew that there were things out there that could do it, you know, really expensive studio people things. And, you know, of course, I wasn't going to be affording any of that. But nothing when I was looking at keyboards when I was like, say, 7, 8 years old could do even this kind of stuff. You know, because by that point, FM was kind of gone and they were all sample-based things and it was all starting to get a little more boring because you couldn't adjust, you know, I didn't know the technical terms, but I knew that it was, you know, you can make a sound pretty much from scratch with limitations, of course. And I really wanted something where you could do this. And I didn't really get that until I got my first pro keyboard, which was an Insonic TS-12. And of course that was samples, you know, sample-based, waveform-based stuff. But of course you can do a lot with that kind of thing. But all that aside, this is basically my first keyboard in a nutshell.